الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. صدق الله العظيم. Dear respected elders, brothers and listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He enables us to commence, to continue, and to conclude with afiyah and well-being. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to cherish each and every moment of this sacred month and to spend it wisely, listening to, reciting, learning about, and spreading His kalam, His speech, the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live and also die and be resurrected from amongst the Ahlul Quran, the people of the Quran. With the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be exploring a juz a day after Asr Salah. So today's focus will be on the first juz, Surah Fatiha, and the first half also of Surah Al-Baqarah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences with Surah Fatiha, in which we glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. We seek protection in who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from every evil. If there is a calamity, if there is a hardship, if there is a difficulty, we must turn to Allah. O Allah, I seek refuge and protection in you. Therefore, before going to sleep, we must also recite the three quls or the four quls, in which we seek protection and safety in Allah. None can protect us but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. O Allah, before we delve into anything, we must ask for your assistance. Me and you cannot do anything. It is not our power, it's not our strength, it is not our ability, but billah, Allah ke zariye, Allah se madad hogi. Only when assistance comes from Allah. Who is Allah? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Allah has beautiful names. From amongst His beautiful names is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. The most merciful, the very merciful. Allah is the most merciful, the very merciful. Yes, Allah is Shadidul Iqab. Allah can punish. But Allah is Ar-Rahman, Allah is Ar-Rahim, Allah is all merciful. Many of you people will probably be able to understand that as we grew up, we were always made to fear Allah. Sometimes rightly so. But if a child was slightly naughty at home, we'll tell the Maulvi Sahib, "Oh Allah mare." But really we should be overwhelmed with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa is not only the fear of Allah, but rather there's two types of fear. One is the fear from a lion. One is the fear from a tiger. One is the fear from a dangerous animal. And then there is a fear of upsetting one's parents. There's a fear of upsetting one's beloved. So tattaqun taqwa is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the overwhelming love of Allah that you do not want to upset and displease your Allah. Oh Allah, you are the Rabbil Alameen. You made me coming to existence. You looked after me. You cherished me. You nurtured me. I am in need of you in every step of my life. How can I disobey you with the eyes you have given me? How can I disobey you with the ears that you have granted to me? How can I disobey you when you are the provider of Rabbil Alameen? Tamam Jahano Ka Rabb, the Lord of the worlds. So my Allah is Ar-Rahman. From morning till evening, any command of Allah that you hear, know that it may be understood or not. It may outwardly seem as suffering, as pain, but it is Ar-Rahman. Is an illness a suffering, a calamity, or a mercy? It's a question. Is an illness, is a disease, is a loss of life, is a loss of business, a calamity, a musibat, a difficulty, or is it rahmah, or is it a mercy? Now most of the people will assume, well, if it's an illness, if it's a disease, if it's a loss of life, if it's a loss of business, it can't be anything but musibat, calamity. But our scholars explain that if that calamity, if that trial brings you closer to Allah, it is no longer a musibat and calamity. It is a rahmah and a blessing from Allah. And if that blessing, the career, the job, the success, draws you away from Allah, it is not a ni'mat and blessing. It is a musibat and calamity. So sometimes sufferings are to draw us closer to Allah. Isn't it the case? There are many examples. People have been living wrong lives. Suddenly there is an accident. Suddenly something happens at home. A change in their career. It draws them to the house of Allah. It draws them to the worship of Allah. It draws them to change the direction of their lives. Now, has this accident been a means of musibat, calamity, difficulty and hardship and doom and destruction? Or is it a means of a rahmah of Allah? Many a people will just assume loss of life, loss of business, loss of opportunities, I'm doomed, destroyed. No, for us Muslims, it may be outward suffering, but our happiness and joy is in the suffering. We remain away from food and drink. Outwardly people assume, oh my God. Some years back I was talking to some non-Muslims and they were quite surprised and shocked that little children, men, women, elderly remain away from food and even water from morning hours till sunset. Again, very difficult. But with us is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we assume even if there is difficulty, even if there is suffering, then we will tolerate it with happiness and joy because we know there is ultimate goodness behind the suffering. In this way, a believer will always be optimistic. Will not lose hope. Even in darkness, he will see an opportunity. Even in total misery, he will see a light at the end of a tunnel. Why? Because he is driven by the conviction and belief in Allah that my Allah is Ar-Rahman. My Allah is Ar-Rahim. My Allah is Rabbil Alameen. My Lord will take care of me. My Lord is Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of the worlds. Maliki Yawmiddin. And he is the master, the owner of the day of judgment. Again, many a people assume that a person comes into existence. Does anyone deny the existence of man? Does anyone deny the existence? No. We're into this world. Does anyone deny that we will die? Everyone agrees. A moment comes, a time comes, when a soul is taken away and the person is buried in the grave. But there are others who dispute and disagree that there is resurrection life after death. Allah says, Maliki Yawmiddin. So even in life, when there's miseries, difficulties, hardships, know that it will always come to an end. Inna ma'al usri yusra. With every difficulty there is ease. Maliki Yawmiddin. Someone has wronged you. Someone backbited you. Someone slandered you. Someone usurped your right. Maliki Yawmiddin. There is the day of judgment. Ma Allah will reward me for it. I feel angry. I have to respond. Yet I am patient. I am cool. For the sake of Allah. I know Maliki Yawmiddin. On the day of judgment will reward me for it. Doesn't that give comfort to a believer? even if there is a loss or difficulty in life, knowing that there is a life after death, and the wrongdoers will be punished. There's so much suffering around the world. People may question, why does the bully run away, get away, without any repercussions? But Allah is Malik Yawm al-Din. Allah will seek His retribution and revenge from the bully. As for the mazloom, as for the oppressed and the weak, know that your reward is being recorded by Allah, who will give you the reward in the hereafter. When your duas are unanswered, when your duas are not accepted, don't become despondent. Don't lose hope that whenever I raise my hands, I shed my tears, my Allah doesn't do for me. Because either Allah will give you, or Allah will remove any calamity from your way. It may well be that a great calamity is before you, but then by the means of a smaller calamity, or by the means of your unanswered prayers, Allah has removed that great calamity. Or that a believer will come on the day of judgment, the gates of Jannah will be open. He will see different palaces and rivers and trees and luxuries and comfort and happiness and joy. And he will ask, oh Allah, why do I receive all this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond, there were many supplications and du'as you made in the world. They were unanswered in the world. This is the reward for it. And he will aspire, only if none of my supplications were answered in the world, and I were to receive the reward of it in the akhirah. My Allah is Malik Yawm al-Din. We say, oh Allah, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'een. Okay, so there's the day of judgment. How can we receive salvation, success, kamyabi in the akhirah, in the next world? Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'een. That, oh Allah, we worship you alone and we ask for your assistance. Worship Allah alone, ask from Him, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, and adopt the straight path. How will we know what the straight path is? Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. Allah gives examples of various prophets in the Quran, various noble people. Allah says, adopt their path. Adopt the path of the righteous and you will reach Allah. Adopt the path of the righteous, we will reach Allah. But it's interesting. How can we adopt the path of the righteous if we're unaware of the righteous or the path of the righteous? So therefore it's so important that we read the stories, the anecdotes, the biographies of these great scholars, of these great people of Allah. Who were they? And then we aspire to be like them. There's two, Kitabullah and Rijalullah. To gain salvation, there's Rijalullah, there's Kitabullah. Kitabullah is the book of Allah. So you will see in every era, Allah caused a book, a revelation to be revealed. That is Kitabullah, the book of Allah. That is the manual for success and salvation in the akhirah. That is Kitabullah. So if we want to be successful also, we will have to hold on to the Kitabullah. But there's also Rijalullah. Rijalullah means the men of Allah. So this Surah Fatiha is the Kitabullah, revelation. It teaches us seek guidance through the righteous people, Rijalullah, the men of Allah. So we will need the book of Allah and the men of Allah to gain success. From amongst the greatest men of Allah were the messengers. None can say, I have the book of Allah, I do not need the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'udhu billah. But rather we need the Kitabullah and the Rijalullah. Also, how will we be able to appreciate the Kitabullah? How will we be able to understand the book of Allah? The Sahaba was so eloquent and so powerful in the Arabic language. If possible, they could have just listened to the Arabic verses and understood and moved away. But rather Allah says that from amongst the purposes of the messenger was يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. Recite the verses of the Quran and explain to them, teach them. But they already knew Arabic. If they already knew Arabic, why was there a need to explain the Arabic verses? From there we understand that one is the Arabic wording, but then it is open to interpretation. Whose interpretation will we take? Will we take my and your interpretation? Or will we take someone off online and social media elsewhere? Or will we take some interpretation from someone else? No! We take our understanding of the Quran from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the Sahaba who are inspired by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the Tabi'een who are taught and inspired by and accompanied by the Sahaba. So therefore you will see, many a people use different interpretations of the Quran. Not every and any interpretation of the Quran will be used. Otherwise, you'll find right-wing groups, fascist groups, also quoting Quran, misinterpreting the Quran, abusing Quran. So there'll be deviant groups. Many of those whom will use the Quran. Look at the verse of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُدِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Allah deviates many through the Quran and Allah guides many through the Quran. How is that possible? How can someone be misguided by the Quran? First explanation is, when the Quranic verse came, those who accepted the verse of Allah, the Quranic verse became a means of hidayat and guidance for them. When the Quranic verse came down and they rejected the verse, then the more they rejected of the verses of Allah, the more astray they were led. And the other is, all deviant groups will use Quran as an evidence. None will say, we don't follow the Quran. All the groups, whether they ascribe themselves to the Orthodox Muslim groups or not, if they claim to be Muslims, they will use the Quran as an evidence. But interpretation. So many a times one will hear, will be mesmerized, wow, so amazing, so touched by the Quranic verse and being explained. We've never heard of this. But again, is it in line with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba and Tabi'in? Or is it a person's own interpretation? If their own interpretation, then it will be rejected. If it is in line with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba and the Tabi'in and quoted from the classical books, then it will be accepted. So either the Quran can be a means of hidayah for someone or dalala. So here therefore, we not only require the book of Allah, we'll require the people of Allah who can then explain to us what the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means. Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Surah Baqarah opening verses, that this book, لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, there is no doubt, there is no shak. Few sides afterwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the disbelievers and says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِّثْلِهِ. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with inspiration and wahi to them. Majority of them refused to accept. They were quite proficient in Arabic. The best of poetry was hung onto the Kaaba. You may have heard of this. In fact, some of that poetry was so eloquent that until very recent, or still in some places, it is taught in Madaris and Darul Ulooms for those who really want to master the Arabic language. So this was hung on the Kaaba. They would have their annual competitions and they took great pride. But when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with the message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, iwaja, there was crookedness in them. They were not willing to listen anyway. When a person has made his mind up, or when she's made her mind up, they are unwilling to listen, then you can bring a mountain's worth of evidence. It could be daylight, but they will disagree. Allah says, iwajan, kaji, stubbornness in them. As for those who embraced Islam with an open heart, they fell in love with the Quran. Therefore, in today's time as well, there'll be many non-Muslims who have studied the Quran, who have written PhD theses on the Quran, who are somewhat professors of the Quran. When you sit by them, You'll hear verses, you'll hear traditions, you'll hear sophisticated arguments in Islamic law. You will hear that they lecturing for 20, 30 years at masters and PhD program at universities, but yet they're not even Muslims. How is it so? One is information. One is information. But the hearts are locked up. So the information has probably entered their memories, but it has not entered their hearts. Here we must open our hearts and then study the Quran, then listen to the Quran, and thereafter the sweetness of the Quran will descend into the heart. And that's why this is no information book. The heart is so important. Iman is in the heart. Yaqeen in the heart. Tawakkul in the heart. Yu'minuna bil ghayb. Therefore, a person who attends the gym will be very conscious and will have different exercises. Monday is for this, Tuesday is for this, Thursday is for this. So every organ of the body, every muscle, every joint, more important is the organ of the heart. Just as the physical body requires an effort, similarly the heart also requires the effort. A machinery, if abandoned, will not function. Similarly, if the heart is abandoned and is not cherished, unnourished, unpolished, it will rotten and it will be corrupted. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the heart which is dead. Therefore, we must always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, we seek protection in you from a dead heart. Knowledge is of two types also. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua was, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a, wa rizqan wasi'a, wa shifa'an min kulli da. We should also make this dua when drinking zamzam. Alhamdulillah, one of the brothers has donated a number of bottles of zamzam as well for daily iftar. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, that for him and also us, just as Allah has blessed us with the zamzam water, may he grant us with the Hawd al-Kawthar in the next world. So this is also the dua of zamzam. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a. O Allah, I ask from you beneficial knowledge. Because knowledge is of two types as well. One is information. But ghair nafi', nafa man nahi, which does not lead you to Allah, does not benefit you. Now this knowledge will become a curse for a person. But ilme nafi' is a knowledge settled in the heart. Take the example of blood. Blood enters the heart and then it's circulated around the whole body through the capillaries. So from the heart, the blood reaches the toes, reaches the fingertips, reaches the brain, reaches the body. If the heart stops to function, if the blood does not circulate, eventually all the organs will stop to operate too. Similarly, the love of Allah, the ma'rifah of Allah, the understanding of the Quran will settle into the heart. And then the person will be so inspired by it that the love will fall and will reach every limb of the person. So we must make dua to Allah also, O Allah. And it was the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that O Allah, grant me nur, your ma'rifat, your light in every limb of my body. That we're now inspired when we look at, when we hear something, when we think of something, then we do so in a way which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here in this verse, Allah says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا, that you have mastery over Arabic. Bring something equivalent to this. Gather all your forces, gather all your people, and bring something equivalent to the Quran. Allah says, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ, a small surah equivalent to قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ وَالْعَصْرَ. Hundreds and thousands of Arabs, were they able to do so? No. The first command was, bring a Quran similar to it. They were unable to. Then was فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُورَةٍ, 10 surahs, they were unable to. Then was one single surah, they were not able to. This in itself was a clear evidence that this is the book of Allah. My Nabi was illiterate, ummi. He didn't know how to read or write. He didn't know any other language. He was taught by none. Then how could he then read these verses to them which were unparalleled? This in itself was a sign that this must be inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says this Quran is a hidayat guidance. But we just discussed, why does he not guide the other people then, even after having studied? It's the hearts. And Allah says, للمتقين یہ ہدایت ہے تقوی والوں کے لئے. It's a means of hidayat and guidance for the people of taqwa. Therefore, many a people would go to great scholars for hundreds of years. First, they would sit in their gatherings for days, for weeks and months, and only afterwards they would begin to teach them. That's the difference between us and them. Why? The first few weeks and months was the spiritual exercise, the nurturing, the mending of the heart. Imagine a farmer, there's a land. He will have to choose a fertile land. After choosing the fertile land, he will have to level the land. He will have to remove any dirt, any harm, any filth. He will have to water. He will have to add fertilizers. Then he will have to plant the seeds. Thereafter, it will grow into a beautiful tree. Similarly, these verses of Allah, the seeds of which will be planted in our hearts, but we will have to level the ground. We will have to remove the filth and dip it within it. We will have to nourish it with the fertilizers, with water, with the sunlight. Afterwards, the seed of Iman and Quran will grow. And many a times we fail to focus on the heart. So therefore, even at madrasa, we will have studied many things. We'll hear two lectures again and again and again. But we've not identified the real cause. It's like a person who is unwell, suffering from an illness or disease. And every time you go to a doctor, he says, do this, do that. But you've not identified and diagnosed the actual root cause. Until we don't diagnose the root cause, bimari and the illness will appear again and again and again. And many a times that's the issue. The issue is we've not diagnosed, we've not dealt with the heart itself. Once the heart is nurtured and nourished, thereafter now you may do anything and everything. MashaAllah. Because it is based upon strong iman which is settled in the heart. So Allah says, هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, that this Quran is a hidayah for those who have taqwa in them. And we spoke about taqwa is بَيْنَ الرَّجَى وَالْخَوْفِ, between fear and love. There are some people who have love, love, love. A person becomes totally careless then. Oh, it's all about fear. But our deen is between raja and khawf. That my Allah is shadidul iqab. Sakht pakar karne wala hai. Is severe in punishment. But my Allah is also ar-Rahman. My Allah is also ar-Rahim. So lil muttaqeen, who are the muttaqeen, who have strong faith in the unseen, yu'minuna bil ghayb. How can we build faith? Wa yuqeemuna salah, namaz ko qaim karte hain, those who establish salah. How can we increase iman? Salah. Now many of people may say, well, we've been praying salah, we don't see any increase in iman. Again, yuqeemuna salah. Allah chooses the word yuqeemun to establish, not to just simply Allahu Akbar up and down, but rather khushu, khudu. It's supposed to be a spiritual exercise. Many a times we're standing in prayer, we may be there with our bodies, but without our hearts. And we said heart is the foundation, is the basis. Asal, jar. How can we benefit from the salah when our body parts are there, but the heart's not there? So yuqeemuna salah, be there in person and in heart. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, Allah says, and they spend from the provisions we have given them. Even this money and provisions, who does it come from? Allah. Allah says, مَقْبُلْ جَنَا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ, We have given you these. You are spending from the provisions we have given. Now, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Even zakat is called zakah. Does anyone know the literal meaning of zakah in Arabic? Purification. Safai. You have your wealth, you take 2.5% and you purify the rest of it. Also, the greed of wealth is ingrained in man. Everyone likes some money, don't they? A nice house, nice car, nice career, nice lavish lifestyle, going on holidays. Obviously, it doesn't all come free. Comes with money. Yes, there's a difference. Many companions, many great people were rich. But how is it acquired? How is it spent? Whether the love of the wealth is there or not. Many a people had money, but the hearts were not filled with the love of this, so therefore it was okay for them. However, for many a people, the love and the greed for wealth is ingrained in their hearts. So Allah says, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ and zakat, that we have the love of wealth in our hearts. By taking zakat, we're purifying parts of our soul and heart from the greed, because we're distancing it away from us. And we're saying, oh Allah, for your sake, I am taking this out. So now that will be replaced with the love of Allah. The more you sacrifice, the more the love of Allah will be attained. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. The more you sacrifice for Allah and you detach it from the heart, Allah's love will descend. Can light and darkness coexist? Can light and darkness coexist? No. Similarly, love, ma'rifah of Allah and the ma'rifah and the love of the Quran cannot coexist with attachment to the world. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Purify the heart, cleanse the heart. Again, why? Does this mean? Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَا. That your money is fitna. Should you embrace fitna or should you run away from fitna? What should you do? Should you embrace fitna or should we run away from fitna? Run away? Let's run away. Abandon our homes then. Abandon our cars. Abandon our jobs. Bas Allah, Allah. I've heard a bayan. Money is fitna. Run away from fitna. Now people are struggling. Fitna has multiple meanings. One is azmaish ka zariya, a means of test. Yes, many a people fall prey and fall guilty and fail in this great trial. Therefore, money is sometimes interpreted as fitna, musibat, calamity. But it's not wrong in itself. But it's a means of test. Sometimes Allah deprives a person to see whether he's steadfast or not. They are the poor people. Sometimes Allah gives to a person to then test whether this brings him close to me or draws him away. So Allah says, your wealth and your children are fitna, are means of test. Either they could be for you or against you. So the money also, as we spoke about musibat calamity, if this money helps you draw closer to Allah, then this money is a ni'mat and a blessing for you. But my money, my job, my career stops me from attending to the masjid, stops me from the jama'at prayer, stops me from the tilawat of the Quran, stops me from fulfilling the rights of my family, stops me from doing good, then this money and this wealth is not a ni'mat for me. It's a calamity, it's a fitna for me. So therefore Allah says, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. This is the test. That is this wealth a fitna for me or not? Now if a person is still steadfast upon his religion and spends the money in the right cause, then inshallah, this is not a means of fitna. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses three categories of people. The believers, the disbelievers, and then the munafiqun and the hypocrites. We have limited time. We won't go through the traits of believers. Then in two verses, Allah discusses the disbelievers. Then in 13 verses, Allah discusses 12 traits of the munafiqun, which are probably important to go through. And we make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, protect us from nifaq and hypocrisy. But it is important to also study and then to measure how much of the sifat and the attributes of believers are within me and how much of the sifat of the munafiqin and the hypocrites. Where does this guidance come from? Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nasu abudu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. That worship your Lord who has created you and who has created the people before you. As for those who do good, Allah says, Bashir, unko khushkhabri suna dijiye, give them glad tidings. A little struggle of how many years? 50 years? 60 years? 70 years? 8 years? Then ultimately, anna lahum jannat. They are gardens. Rivers will be flowing. Happiness and joy forever and ever. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the story and the anecdote of Adam alayhi salam. Allah created Adam. Allah created Hawa. Allah instructed them, do not go near this tree. وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. But when Shaitan refused to bow down before Adam, he made it upon himself to also mislead Adam. Eventually it so happened, Adam alayhi salam ate from the tree and Allah's command was to descend onto earth. Then Allah says in the Quran, فَتَلَقَى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Adam received some words from his Lord and he turned to Allah with these words and he found that Allah was all forgiving. What are these words? What are these words? Anyone knows? Adam alayhi salam settled onto the earth. He made tawbah, istighfar, cried before Allah. Allah says that Allah inspired some words to him. By the virtue of these words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him his beloved. And Allah mentions these. Why? As we said, Kitabullah Rijalullah. Follow their pathways, adopt their practices, you'll also become the beloved. We will have to move to the 8 juz of the Quran. Surah Al-A'raf. Allah says, the dua Adam alayhi salam made, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That, oh Lord, رَبَّنَا هَمَارَ رَبْ. So this is the etiquette of dua. Firstly, glorify Allah. And then accept your mistake. ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We have wronged ourselves. غَلَطِي هُوْكِ. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا. Oh Allah, if you do not have mercy on us, if you do not forgive us, then we'll be from amongst the losers. نُقْسَانُ وَتَعْنِ وَالِي. But he says this. Nothing else. These are the adab and the etiquette of dua. Glorify Allah. Praise Allah. Express your humility and call on to Allah with his various attributes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him and Hawa and entered them into Jannah. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the accounts of Banu Israel. We have limited time because the idea is to complete the juz and then give some time for own tilawat and for own dua also. So number of verses discuss the account of Banu Israel, whom Allah had favored. In fact, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that my ummah will follow the traits of Banu Israel in every. They will tread every path that Banu Israel treaded. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that Allah blessed them with numerous favors. They were ungrateful of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But from amongst those who were the Rijalullah, the men of Allah, was Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. Allah also tested Ibrahim.
How?
He grew up in a family of non-believers. His father used to make the idols. He rejected disbelief. He was abandoned by his society. He remained steadfast. He was confronted by Namrud, the king, the powerful tyrant. He remained steadfast. He was instructed to travel to Makkah, to leave his wife and son in a barren land of Makkah. He remained steadfast. He returns to Makkah many a years. He sees a dream of slaughtering his son. He is willing to slaughter his son Ismail. He remains steadfast. He is about to be thrown in the fire. Does he hesitate? He remains steadfast. So many a times Allah tested him. Ibrahim alayhi salam remained steadfast. Him and his son were making and constructing the Kaaba. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. They fulfilled the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they made dua. رَبَّنَا O our Lord, تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا هَمْ سَي قَبُولْ فَرْمَا. Accept from us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. تُو سُنَّ وَالَا هَي جَانْنِ وَالَا هَي. You are all listening, you are all knowing. So dua ke saath dua bhi. If we want to be successful, if we want acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will require effort, the medicine, the hard work, the dawa, and the dua turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses, وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبَ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شَهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتُ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. So Ibrahim alayhi salam had two sons, Ismail and Ishaq. Ismail settled in Makkah, and from the progeny of Ismail came my and your beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ishaq had settled in Sham, in Jerusalem, and numerous prophets came after Ishaq. And we discussed about the crookedness, that when the people of the book heard the verses of Allah, when they heard the inspiration and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they knew it was the haq. They knew it was the truth. They knew it was from Allah. Then why not accept it? Because of stubbornness. Why was there stubbornness? Because they were the progeny of Ishaq. They were the descendants of Ishaq alayhi salam. And they hoped that the final messenger would be from amongst their family. But here, the final messenger happened to be from the family of the Meccans of Ismail alayhi salam. Because of their crookedness and their stubbornness, they refused to accept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. So Ismail and Ishaq. Now Ishaq alayhi salam's son is Ya'qub alayhi salam. Allah discusses that in the last moments of Ya'qub alayhi salam, he gathers all his children. And he asks them, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. What will you worship after? It's amazing. Why? From amongst the sons of Ya'qub alayhi salam is a prophet of Allah, Yusuf alayhi salam. From amongst his other sons were saints. And again, they were born, they were nurtured, they grew up in a prophetic household. You can just imagine from morning till evening, the discussion and the remembrance of Allah, of Jannah, of the unseen, of the messages, divine commandments. Yet in his final moments, if he is worried, he's worried about the iman of his children. No one is assured or guaranteed that masjid banaliye, marakis banaliye, that madaris banaliye, we've fortified the iman of our children because we have the masjid and the madrasas and all the efforts of deen, which are so important. But yet this is Nuh alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah, But his son leaves this world without the kalima. Lut alayhi salam, his own wife leaves without the kalima. These were great prophets. So Yaqub alayhi salam addresses his sons, Ma ta'abuduna min ba'di, what will you worship after me? Obviously he knew that they were faithful. He knew they were strong believers. Yet he questions them. Therefore the scholar says it's important from time to time to assess our children, to see their level of knowledge, to see their level of faith, to interact with them, to talk about imaniyat and beliefs with them. Qalu, they responded, we shall worship you and we shall worship the Lord. We shall worship ilahak, your Lord, wa ilaha abaik, and the Lord of your forefathers, Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq. Ilaha wahida, ek ma'bud, one God, wa nahnu lahu muslimun, and we are submissive to him. Hum usi ke farma bardar aur tabi'dar hai. The word Islam was kept by Ibrahim alayhi salam. What does Islam mean?
Peace.
MashaAllah. I knew someone would say that. Yes? Any other meanings? Islam may be derived from the word salima, which means salamat. When we greet each other, we say, Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you. A side note is also, when you greet someone, say Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When you're departing and moving away, it is also sunnah to say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Many a times we do salam when we meet someone the first time. But when moving away, when departing, we don't say salam. When Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, salam when separating is more important than salam when meeting someone. Why? When we're saying salam to someone, we're saying, you are at peace out. You are at peace with me. I will not cause any harm to your body, to your wealth, to your reputation. I've come as a friend, not as a foe. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now you're moving away. We say assalam, that I will not cause any harm to you in your absence too. No slandering, no backbiting, no evil words, no unjust behavior. So salam comes from salima, which means salamati, peace, security, safety, salamat. But also, aslama yuslimu islam, the literal meaning is submission. Allah says, we do. The Prophet says, we do. Allah says, wa sammakum al-muslimin. Ibrahim alayhi salam received the instruction of slaughtering his son. Without any questions or objections, he was willing to submit to the command of Allah. Aslim, taslam. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, aslim, taslam. Submit to the will of Allah, and everything else will submit to you. Man kana lillah, kana Allahu la. Jo Allah ka ho gaya, Allah uska ho gaya. Submit to the Creator, the creation will submit to you. Lastly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, صِبَغَةَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبَغَةَ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ. Allah ka rang, the color of Allah. And is there a color greater than the color of Allah? The deen of Allah, the shariat of Allah is the color of Allah. You may paint this wall into different colors. Different colors may give different desired effects to it. The deen is also a lifestyle. It's not a choice. Yes, you may choose whether to adopt it or not. But Allah has made it clear that your success, your salvation is in the lifestyle as bestowed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sibghat Allah wa man ahsanu min Allahi sibghat. You will not find any other religion better than the deen brought to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will not find any more scripture more beautiful and more accurate than the scripture that revealed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will feel and you will find no deen, no way of life better than the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the deen. Lastly, Umar radiallahu anhu addressed the Sahaba and he said, Kunna adhalla qawm, that we the Arabs, we were a disgrace and humiliated nation. No one wanted to even rule over us. فَأَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ Allah gave us honor, victory through Islam. مَهْمَا نَطْلُبُ الْعِزَّةَ فِي غَيْرِهِ أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ If we seek for happiness, joy, contentment, victory, salvation in a way other than Islam, we will once again be doomed and be destroyed. So our salvation is in embracing the color and the dye revealed by Allah, the Kitabullah, the Rijalullah, the Quran, the Book of Allah, and the prophetic Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah inspire us to live by the Quran. May Allah give us death upon the Quran. May Allah resurrect us from amongst the Ahlul Quran, people of the Quran as well. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.